Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel is your go-to spot for all things tractor and heavy equipment. From sales to service and even locating that hard-to-find part, we can handle it all. We even have rentals. For all your tractor and heavy equipment needs, visit Southern Equipment in Laurel or call 601-651-4555.
Free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Oh, and we're so glad you did. Welcome to the Super Talk Eagle Hour Friday edition. Real quickly, that commercial that led us into the break. I've known a lot of guys in my lifetime that loved F-150 pickups. I've never known one that wanted an electric one.
Really?
I don't think I ever will. See, I know tough guys. I know guys that farm and hunt.
Before you continue, remember what my dad does for a living.
Right. Well, I bet your dad don't like no electric F-150.
I know my mom doesn't. That's a guarantee.
It's like an electric Mustang. Whoever invented that ought to be shot. Welcome to the Eagle Hour. I don't know how we got off
inciting violence from the start of the show.
We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. Bob, Kelly, and Dima. You can probably tell it's Friday. And we're glad you're with us. We've got a good show today. Our buddy Patrick McGee's about to join us. Will East previewing high school later. I thought some great news about Southern Miss baseball yesterday, and we'll talk about that a little later in the show as well. But first, let's go back to New Orleans. Patrick McGee, sports editor of the Times-Picayune. I like saying that.
And great American.
And great American as well, Patrick McGee. And Patrick, I got to be honest with you now. I listened to you three guys poor mouth the Saints. And I thought, well, man, this is going to be a struggle against Carolina. They ate them alive. Are the Saints better than you guys predicted, Patrick?
Yeah, I mean, before the season, I guess where I came down is like I just didn't know what this team was going to do. You know, they could range from like 5 wins to 11 wins, or you know, anywhere in between. And no, I mean, the offense looked very good, really in all areas. The offensive line held up. And I guess that's the most encouraging part is, you know, the Panthers really aren't a bad team defensively. Offensively, they're really bad.
Right.
But the Saints did move the ball well on them. You know, the defense, Saints defense obviously put them in a position to succeed with some turnovers and stuff like that. But Kamara gets over 100 yards. Carr really hits all the marks. The receivers look good. The tight ends are involved. And most importantly, the offensive line held up against the quality front seven for the Panthers, so that's really encouraging. But yeah, the Panthers look much of the same on offense they did a year ago, which is terrible. And the Saints really took advantage. But really coming out of that game, the Saints have to be encouraged with the direction of the offense under new coordinator Clint Kubiak.
No, I agree completely. I think though the offense will get a big test coming up, because if there's one thing I think we can all agree about the Cowboys and their first game was defensively, they looked very, very strong.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely a swing from, you know, going from the Panthers to Cowboys, who are one of the better teams in the NFL, really talented across the board. We're not necessarily going to have to judge the Saints on this game moving forward. If this is, you know, if they lose this game, lose by, you know, a couple of touchdowns, you know, so what? But if they show up and suddenly they're hanging with the Cowboys, even beat the Cowboys, you're like, wait, but maybe this team is for real, you know? So we'll find out a good deal about this team, but, you know, if they're leaving this game 1-1, you're still not feeling bad about the team here early in the season.
And I don't know that anybody questioned, you know, greatly the Saints' ability. But the first thing that they pointed to, and we talked about it on this show, was the brutality of the early schedule that the Saints have got, including this game at Dallas. But, Patrick, I wanted to ask you about the upside of the Shaheed kid, the wide receiver, because he has just looked – I mean, I know everybody in fantasy football taking Olave really high, and very few people took, you know, Shaheed very highly at all, but I think this kid has a chance to be super.
Yeah. I mean, whenever he's been healthy and on the field, he's been a game changer. He really just takes that top off of a defense. He can really get deep. And what Derek Carr is still really, really, really good at his career is throwing the deep ball. So he and Shaheed work together really well. So, yeah, I mean, if Shaheed can stay on the field for 17 games, he's a guy that can, you know, put up 1,000 yards receiving and get in the end zone a good, you know, 11, 12 times. He's a dynamic player, and no doubt he's just, you know, just now, I think, realizing his potential.
What do you expect for the Saints to do against Dallas? I mean, I don't know if the expectation, or rather that should be the question, what should be the expectation, that they compete well, you feel pretty good, or do you feel like, you know, obviously if they win, it says a lot, but I feel like even if they go up there, over there and compete pretty well, you know, you have a different outlook on the whole season at that point.
Yeah, true. I mean, I think the concern right now is Fuaga, the rookie left tackle, who played really well last week against the Panthers. He's a little bit of a question mark. Set up practice with a tight back. Now, I'm leaning towards expecting him to play on Sunday, but if he's not out there, you're probably going to go with Landon Young at left tackle, who's okay. You're not thinking, oh, it's a disaster, but it's still a step down. And if you're not at your best on the offensive line, it could be problematic for the Saints in this game. So, but no, I mean, the Saints have definitely got a lot of momentum. I mean, they closed out last season really strong, showed up and really just beat the tar out of the Panthers. So, the Saints are confident right now. I mean, this, you know, we're just talking about the season opener, but you look at the way they played late in the season last year and the way Carr played. We'll find out a good deal more if the Saints team is maybe not only a division contender, you know, a contender, a playoff contender. If they can beat the Cowboys, it definitely does change the perspective of the season.
And I'm just curious because I was watching the game on Sunday, and I remember that when Shaheed caught that 59-yard touchdown pass from Derek Carr, like almost immediately, I was like, man, this offense looks different. And I know I'm putting you on the spot, and you may not know, but I asked one of my other Saints buddies, and he didn't know either, the last time the Saints scored 30 points in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, I know that came across, but it doesn't ring a bell right now when okay. Exactly that was. I know it was in the Drew Brees era. That's about
right.
All I know.
Yeah.
Well, when you're talking about a team, you just want your team to compete, right? And it is obviously early on. But, Patrick, I don't know that the Buccaneers or the Falcons are going to be so great that what we saw from the Saints, that the Saints shouldn't be competitive, certainly competitive in that NFC South.
Right. I think the Falcons, you know, they were a dud in week one. You know, maybe Cousins a little rusty coming out. Maybe he'll pick up steam. But offensively, the Falcons just still aren't very good. Maybe that'll change. But right now, you can't be terribly optimistic about that offense really even being in the top half of the NFC. So, but I think it is the Buccaneers and the Saints. The Panthers are one of the worst teams in the NFL. But, yeah, I think you're looking at Buccaneers, Saints, and then Falcons, who are very close with the Saints. But right now, obviously, the Saints are playing the better football.
And the Bucs and the Saints, that's become a pretty good rivalry, you know, and I expect it'll just be enhanced this year.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't care how bad Atlanta is. They just seem to always muck up the Saints' water every year when it's inexplicable sometimes. But
yeah, I feel sorry for Kirk Cousins getting sent to Atlanta. That's kind of like a dead end of your career, isn't it?
Did you see how much he's making, Bob? Don't feel sorry for him.
Yeah, I don't feel
sorry. And he's got, I mean, they got talent all over the field in Atlanta. That team should not be bad.
Yeah. All right, anything jump out at you, really surprise you the first week, Patrick?
I guess really the running game for the Saints, I mean, that's really what this offense is built around. You've got to run the ball first, and everything feeds off the run game. And Kamara getting over 100 yards for the first time since 2022, and that's a long time. You know, Kamara's, you know, a guy gets active in the receiving game. He's always going to make an impact. But that's the first time in a long time you've really seen him kind of take over and run the ball really well. And the offensive line held up. Like I said, even Penning was pretty solid out there. I know he was called for one penalty. But if he's a guy that can steadily progress at right tackle, he's got all the attributes in terms of size and athletic ability and strength at right tackle, but he's really been inconsistent. If he can kind of take that next leap and just be a competent, solid right tackle, the offensive line is going to be fine for the Saints.
Hey, real quick, about a minute and a half left. From everything I read, the game down in South America was not popular with the players, didn't want their families down there. The field conditions were terrible. Mm-hmm. Really, the Philadelphia fan base got screwed out of a home game. Are we going to see more or less of this in the future, Patrick?
Well, I mean, NFL, whenever the NFL does something, you're going to get more of it in terms of like international games and stuff. They're going to, you know, maybe they don't go back to Brazil, but they may go somewhere else. They're trying to grow their international footprint, you know, and playing all those games in Europe. So, no, maybe they won't do it the same way they did it in year one in terms of the Brazil game. They need a facility that's relevant in all that. But, I don't see the NFL backing away from it.
When the Philadelphia fans complain that it's not safe in a city that
it's
they're staying
in. It's pretty bad. I've been to some Philadelphia-Washington games in the last few years. If they're concerned, it's really, really
bad. For their own personal safety.
I felt pretty unsafe around them.
And, Patrick, real quick, I wanted to get your opinion. Tagovailoa went out last night with another concussion. Is it time for him to maybe seriously contemplate retirement?
I thought he should already be contemplating it, and things kind of turned around in his career and he really got rolling. Everybody kind of forgot about the concussion issue for a little bit. But, no, I think he really does. I mean, it's, you know, for himself and his family, he's made a good deal of money, and maybe it is time to kind of move away and take a different, you know, route in his career.
I agree. Patrick, you're the best, man. We appreciate you. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Patrick McGee, everybody, sports editor of the Times Pick. Do you ever think we'd have the sports editor of the Times Picayune, a contributor on this show?
I've never thought that anybody would ever want to be on this show.
Wow, isn't that amazing? We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, thanks to Patrick McGee, NOLA.com, and now the sports editor of the Times Picayune for joining us. I'm glad these guys are, particularly Patrick and Dima, are breathing a little easier. I mean, you know, the post-mortem they did on the Saints, Kelly, before the season started, I felt depressed.
Yeah, and Spencer Rattler, the poor guy, hasn't even, you know, played a down yet, and Dima's got
him
ready to see.
Thank goodness.
He's still on it. Still on the poor guy's case.
Okay, wow. They beat up on Carolina, who I don't even think they passed the 50 until the third quarter.
Speaking of beating up on teams, last night, did you see what South Al did to Northwestern State?
To tell you how bad they beat Northwestern State, the teams agreed to a 5-minute fourth quarter.
Really?
84-10.
Was it 84? I thought it was 87-10.
That's terrible. Why are teams running up scores like that? But, you know, I guess I remember many years ago, and I know, Dima, I go back to the past too much.
Here we go.
But Florida State came down here and beat Southern Miss by 5 touchdowns. And a reporter in the locker room asked Bobby Bowden.
I was there.
Why did you run up the score? And here was his answer. I was playing my fourth string. Do you want me to tell those kids not to try?
He said, you know what they want to become? Third string.
Correct.
And they want to become second string. And the only way that you do that is to make the most of the opportunities. Right. And then, Bob, you remember he went one step further. He said, why don't you ask your coach why they couldn't stop my fourth string?
Right. Mm-hmm. I remember hearing Carmody ask about did they run up the score, and of course that was not the kind of thing. If you had any sense, you ask him. And he gave that stern look, and he said, we don't ask for mercy, and we don't hand it out.
Fair enough.
That's what I loved about Big Nasty.
Tell us what the rules are, and we'll play by them.
Big Nasty, man.
And I'll be interested to see. Troy is going to Iowa, and that's one of your picks.
We're going to pick that later.
Yeah, one of our games of the week. But I will be interested to see how the Trojans do at Iowa City.
Undoubtedly, I'm leading this competition as I did last year.
We'll have to wait and see.
You'll have to wait to hear the standings at the end.
But that was regardless that it was Northwestern State. Yeah. I wasn't really sold on South Al, and maybe that was a bit of an anomaly last night, but I don't care who you're playing. 84 or 87 points, that's a lot of points.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, and well, that, I'm not going to say that.
And South Al being in the Western Division, you know, that's...
Yeah, no, and it gives them confidence.
Right.
And that's, again, why Wetzler Miss probably should have done last weekend, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what the whole point of what I was saying last week about giving them confidence heading into this week, but they didn't do it.
And
well,
Bob,
here's what I saw last night, Kelly. I watched a good bit of the Texas State-Arizona State game.
Great game.
Great football game. And, you know... I thought a lot about the two young guys we had on the show yesterday, and I thought a lot of what they said had a lot of validity. And I watched that game, Kelly, thinking this is what those guys are talking about. Texas State didn't win the game against the Power Five school, but Texas State competed with them for four quarters. That's what they were talking about. Am I right?
Exactly.
Is Arizona State equal to Kentucky?
Well, that's an interesting
question.
I don't know.
I think it could. They could.
I think... They probably are.
And the question now remains, Texas State in 2 years have gotten that program to where they are right now.
Well, those are all legitimate points.
South Florida.
All legitimate points.
Just a couple of years.
Let's just keep in mind that Arizona State dismantled Mississippi State just last week.
So I think to paraphrase what Reagan and Chase were talking about yesterday, it's not the winning or the losing, it's the expectations. You know, and you put it in a baseball context, perhaps part of the baseball puzzle at Southern Miss, and we've got some news regarding the scheduling
there. What a
segue. In a minute.
This guy's a pro, isn't he?
But the baseball team at Southern Miss is expected to compete for conference championships and to go to regionals. And I think what Chase and Reagan were saying yesterday, for whatever reason, how it happened, when it happened, we don't know. But for some reason, the fan base doesn't seem to have those same expectations for the football team. And they feel, the 30-somethings, that it's time to get back to saying, we expect you to do better.
David, you make a great point, too. Southern Miss just went out there a couple years ago and beat Texas State.
Yes. In Will Hall's tenure out there in San Marcos. And the thing is that it wasn't that long ago. People keep talking about the 2000s and 1990s. Southern Miss played for a conference championship in 2015 against Western Kentucky. They were in the Western Division in Conference USA in 2019. They took Louisiana Tech to like the fourth quarter to win the division. Louisiana Tech eventually won that game. It was on NFL Network. I remember that game. It was ever since COVID that this has started. And so I don't like when people keep going back to 1980s, Virginia Tech, Florida State. Of course, that was the heydays. But even in this modern day of college football, Southern Miss is still competing at a conference championship level that they haven't even come close to in the past four years.
Let me tell you guys, I thought Texas State looked like a handful.
You remember what I said at the beginning of the season? I gave you all my keys to why I think they're going undefeated. And one of their big keys was beating Arizona State.
All right, guys, I want to talk about this because Kelly segued it. So I'm scrolling around last night, and I run up on the Mississippi State baseball schedule, which was released, and What we had been hearing has apparently been confirmed, that this going to Jackson every year, this three-team thing between State, Ole Miss, and Southern is over. And the last time I was at that stadium, I was pretty surprised at how bad conditions were there. The field looked terrible. The scoreboard wasn't working. Their concession stands were a ripoff. I'm so glad to have read that last night. Now, this came from Mississippi State. Home and home with the Bulldogs starting in this coming year. February 18th, Mississippi State will come here. That's the first weeknight game of the season. And March the 4th, Southern Miss will return the favor and play at Mississippi State. Kudos to whoever did this. This is how we ought to be playing interstate sports, Demo.
Yes, and Ole Miss has announced their schedule too. And Southern Miss will be taking the trip to Oxford on February 25th. They will play in Pearl on March 18th. So Southern Miss does not host Ole Miss. They do go to Oxford. So both Mississippi teams on the schedule in a home matchup on either campus.
Well, look at that schedule then. Does Ole Miss show them playing Mississippi State in Pearl?
Yes, they have the Governor's Cup there.
Well, then it hadn't stopped.
Yeah.
Well, then it hadn't stopped.
Well, then that to me, see, when we were in Pearl last year, I said, I hope this is the last time this Southern Miss comes here.
But I don't believe, and pull up Mississippi State's schedule quickly, I don't believe there was a Southern Miss Mississippi State game in Pearl.
Yes, you're correct on that. That was the that's the home and home. I was just making it clear that, they do play Ole Miss in
but
Pearl.
But they still do play Ole Miss in Pearl.
Yes.
Well, that's odd.
I never liked in and Dima, you can check out for about the next 1 minute because I'm going to go back to the 80s again. But when Southern Miss would play Ole Miss and Mississippi State in Jackson, I was against that at the time. I think because the people that get left out in those games are the students of the respective universities, not just the Southern Miss kids, but the college students, part of the college environment, is going to your home stadium, wearing your colors, getting your pom-poms, taking your significant other to the game. And you can't do that when you're traveling to these neutral sites.
Well, we'll find out about that. I'm going to reach out this afternoon and see if I can get Oz and see. That's odd. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, the Ole Miss one's still in Pearl. That Ole Miss does not come to Hattiesburg, but Southern Miss goes to Oxford, just like it would normally rotate. But the Mississippi State, this will be the first return trip to Starkville since 2019, where Southern Miss dropped that series. That was obviously the back-to-back home-and-home years when Mississippi State came here in 18 and Southern Miss swept that series. But, man, I don't know why they don't do this. I've been saying this for four years.
It's exciting.
Why would you not do it on each campus?
The thing is, too, now, is you have the built-in excuse to do it, and that it's now an RPI game.
Oh, well, it's
for all three schools.
For
all three schools, it's very clear.
It's a game for them now as it is for Southern Miss.
Sure, so if you didn't buy into the we're all Mississippians and we should benefit from that type of thing, if you don't buy into that narrative, you certainly need to buy into this is an RPI game for all three schools, and it's going to help you.
And on RPI, your RPI is way better on a home turf versus away turf than a neutral site. Neutral site doesn't really help you that much.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to see that Mississippi State's coming here. That's exciting way to kick off the year.
That's really fun.
No question. And you know it'll be competitive. That's I know I've taken a little heat for saying this, but the truth is, if you go back through history, Mississippi State is the bell cow of college baseball in Mississippi. What, 10 World Series appearances? I think that kind of says everything.
Going back to the Ron Polk days.
Correct. There's no question. And really happy. We'll try to get that information from Oz and pass that along to everybody next week. All right, Dima, 45 seconds before the break, game weekend. How you feeling?
it's just funny to me that the game is tomorrow. This is like one of the first times we've even mentioned the game. But yeah, it should be fun. I expect a bigger crowd. They changed up tailgating, Kelly. I don't know if you saw the press release.
They heard you, Kelly.
They must be listening to the show. So I think that's going to be helpful. I think that'll give an incentive for people to get out there and tailgate. There's not like a lot of great national college football games tomorrow, so it gives it even more of an incentive for people to be there, which that shouldn't be a problem. Right. But that's the world we live in.
Kelly will not need any parking passes because he can get close to his tailgate.
Did you get the call from the athletic department?
Yes.
Because they asked me how I wanted my filet mignon in the press box. I said medium.
I'm pretty excited.
Okay.
In fact, I even invited my wife up.
Okay.
Said she could have a filet mignon.
Wait a minute. Filet mignon? You guys are getting filet mignon? Man, I need to secure legal counsel. This is ridiculous.
We'll be back.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back to the show. Don't forget 4th Street Bar Grill. They'll have the ball game on the TV tomorrow night. We want to see you in the Rock, but if for whatever reason you can't make it, we assure you, you can get some good food, good drink, and a lot of good guys at the 4th Street Bar.
We will be having good food, won't we?
Well, yeah, Dima and I will be having good food in the press box tomorrow night. Kelly, the hot dogs are going. They got a special tomorrow night. You can get two for $10.
Yeah, it's gluten free. Like I said, turkey dogs.
Hey, before we get to Willie's, we'll talk about high school football. We just did talk to Coach Oz regarding what we just reported about the home and home with Mississippi State. He confirms, and that's going to happen. He seemed very excited about it. Southern Miss and Ole Miss will continue for the foreseeable future to play a game against one another in Pearl every year and then rotate that home game. When Ole Miss plays LSU every other year, they always come here. Southern Miss returns the favor to Ole Miss in Oxford. But home and home with Mississippi State for the foreseeable future, obviously weeknight games. Also a home and home with Louisiana Tech, we think we're going to see on the schedule. So things are beginning to shape up, and kudos to Mississippi State. I think that's just great news. I'm really glad to hear that. All right, it's Friday, high school football time. That's when we go to the man that knows more about it than anyone I've ever met, Will East, who is the program director for Super Talk Mississippi, among many other things. All right, Will, what surprised you last Friday, and what has you the most excited about tonight?
I think Brandon has been the big surprise this year. They're now the number one, considered by many to be the number one team in the land. They beat Madison Central. Score wasn't that crazy. It was 21-7, but Madison Central had such a stout defense that they really held Brandon to very few yards, but Brandon just proved that they have what it takes. They can get it done when they need to. Their lead running back only had 55 yards on 22 carries, but he had three touchdowns, and that's what really counts, and they won the game. So I think Brandon has been one of the big surprises. Of course, they had that huge historic win on the coast to open the season where they racked up 60-something points on Picayune, just an unbelievable score. I think they've been the surprise. And tonight they've got a big game as they go over to Clinton, my little hometown. And Clinton's a team that is very, very young. Last year they got bit by the injury bug, and I've never seen this before, but all three quarterbacks on the roster got hurt at one point. They were on their fourth string. There is no fourth string quarterback. There is no. It's the punter. You know, you bring him in, let him be your quarterback at that point. But they're talented. They're young, but they're talented. So Brandon will face them tonight. But I think the biggest game of the night is in y'all's neck of the woods. That's the battle for the Berg, Hattiesburg at Oak Grove. Hattiesburg's been a bit of a surprise this year. That quarterback, Deuce Vance, had a huge game in their blowout win over Laurel last week, had five touchdowns, ran for nearly 100 yards. They've got that four-star receiver, Tristan Keys, and then, of course, Kevin Otis on defense. And that was really, you know, really the story of the game probably was the defense. I think they held Laurel to negative yards in that game. They had six sacks, four forced turnovers. And it's pretty good stuff. But Oak Grove, defending 7A state champ, is they're pretty good. And they're young. They are really young. You know, they got that sophomore quarterback who's got that big arm. And they've been over 35 points in each of their games this season. They got A.J. Lewis, the four-star receiver. And then over on defense, you know, it's all about Drew Maddox, that star defensive tackle. So I think that's probably your game of the night right there. There's a sneaky good game going on in Grenada where Oxford will take on the Chargers of Grenada. They blew a double-digit lead against South Panola last week. That was kind of a shocker. And Grenada, who faced Oak Grove earlier this year, and Oak Grove will tell you, Grenada's a tough, tough team. I think that's going to be a really good game. Another one that's really interesting to me in the north part of the state is West Point and Noxubee County. West Point's 0-2, but here's the schedule for West Point. They started the season with defending state champ Louisville. They followed that game up with 7A runners-up Starkville, and then this week they get to host 3A runners-up, and that's Noxubee County. And they always kind of play that tough schedule early on, and they'll come away with, you know, a win here, win there, and a couple losses, but it benefits them in the long term when they hit regional play. And tonight they're facing Noxubee County, and guys, Noxubee County has probably the most electric player in the state, Kamario Taylor. He's committed to Mississippi State right now. And I'm going to tell you guys, this kid has got it all. He's 6'3", 6'4", 200 pounds. He's got a rocket for an arm. He can run around like nobody's business. In this game last year, he had nearly 500 total yards, completed 70% of his passes, and had five touchdowns in a loss. He just didn't have the players around him. This kid is a stud, and he's a big reason why Noxubee County is a tough, tough team, even though this is a 3A. versus a, I believe, what is West Point now, a 5A school. So I think that's one of your big games in the north part of the state. We've got some big academy games going on tonight as well. You got Jackson Academy at Jackson Prep. That's a long-time rivalry there. But the team to beat in academy ball this year, as it was last year, is Hartfield Academy. I'm not Vince Lombardi, but I can tell you that when you outscore your opponents 210-14 through the first four games of the year, you're doing pretty dead gum good, and that's what Hartfield Academy is doing right now. These guys are loaded, and tonight they're playing Presbyterian Christian, who's 3-0, but Hartfield is just a monster right now. They're an incredibly good team, and I don't know if anybody can stop them.
Well, you mentioned PCS, Presbyterian Christian, here in the Hattiesburg area. They have made that move. Now next year they will play in the MHSAA. Sacred Heart from the Hattiesburg area is already playing the MHSAA. From what you hear, and you've got your ear to the ground for just about every school, any other private schools contemplating a move to the MHSAA?
Not that I know of, but that's not unheard of. For instance, St. Andrews, the private school in the Jackson metro area, they've always played MHSAA ball. In North Mississippi, where you don't have as many academy schools, for instance, Tupelo Christian Prep, they play MHSAA because there's, in that part of the state, there's just not enough private schools to play. I mean, they'd have to be traveling to Jackson every other week. So, and that's the reason why, if you haven't heard, that's the reason why PCS right. is moving, is because they don't want to have to travel to Jackson every week, and I don't blame them.
Yeah, you talked about Deuce Vance, the quarterback for Hattiesburg. That is the son of Tony Vance, the head coach.
Ah.
So you've got that correlation there, father and son running that ship. But I wanted to ask you, when the MHSAA went to the 7A classification, and really when you look at it, there's only 24 teams in that division, 12 in the south and 12 in the north. And I have kind of thought, look, a state championship is a state championship, but really – when to win the North or to win the South, you only have to beat out 11 other teams. I don't know. I just think it kind of – let me just ask you. Do you think in retrospect now that the 7A move was a good move?
I think it was. I mean, you look at a lot of other states, and there are there's a lot – I mean, some have more, and it's basically because of growth. You have some schools like – let's say Oxford. Oxford is growing at such a pace that they're 7A right now, and if there was an 8A, they'd be in it. They're growing so fast that they're outpacing some other schools, and it's just not, you know, you look at some of the other schools that are in their same classification in years past, and, I mean, the attendance for one is just almost double for the other. And you the more kids you have, the more athletes you're going to have. Starkville's another instance of that. Starkville, because they've absorbed, because of consolidation, they've absorbed a lot of these other little county schools. When I was growing up, there was an East Octava Hall, West Octava Hall, these other little schools. Well, and as years have gone by, they've consolidated to all go to Starkville. Now, that's why Starkville, for instance, is always such a monster, because it's a huge school. And so, yes, you do award more championships, but at the same time, it makes the competition a little bit more even, I think.
Well, see, that's kind of where I was going. With all these consolidations, it's actually making fewer schools, which would, to me, mean we don't need as many classifications
right.
as we have now. And again, to win North or South State in 7A, you've only got to beat 11 other teams. And to me, it's more prestigious when you had to beat 24 or 36 other schools rather than 11. It's, look, we're not going to lose any sleep over it one way or the other. I just wanted to get your view on it.
Yeah, it's, you know, where it's really crazy is in the smaller classifications, because you'll have some teams that'll have four, maybe I think there's one that even has three regional games, if I'm not mistaken, and you could literally, you'll have to win one and you're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's the way it is, but it's done that way because of, one is because of location, and the other is because of the number of kids in the school.
All right, Will, as always, man, we really appreciate your input. We're out of time, but we'll look forward to having you back on the show next Friday.
I just saw a possum run by my office, if I sound distracted.
That's a good sign, I guess.
And he'll have all the scores. The guys will have all the scores for us tonight at 10 o'clock, right?
10 o'clock, Will, right? High school scoreboard.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, thanks, Will. Will East, everybody, program director, Super Talk, Mississippi. Lots of games tonight, huh?
Yeah, and some of the junior college games have been moved to tomorrow.
I love throwing things at it like so that. All right, Super Talk Eagle Hour on the road next week. Tuesday, we're at Genesis of Hattiesburg. Wednesday, we're at Trust Care Health Clinic on Highway 98. And we'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, I want to thank all of our great sponsors today. Southern Bancorp, that's where we broadcast from the Southern Bancorp studio. Dickey's Barbecue Pit, Campus Bookmart, 4th Street Bar and Grill, D-Bat, and the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour, Genesis of Hattiesburg, along with Mo Babinier. And I want to remind you about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube. Or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. All right, time for picks. Let's go, Dima.
Yeah, so we have a new leader in the picks board. oh, no.
Was that Bob's shrimp salad affecting him at lunch there?
Yeah, I had a Ward's burger.
okay, that makes sense.
All right, I am in the lead now with 21 points. Mr. Bob, you are number two at 19 points, and Kelly's down at 17. So still neck and neck, but I did take the lead from last week because I almost picked a perfect week. Also, our guest picker
if he says so himself.
Our guest picker last week was from Fuzzy's Tacos.
Justin Harris.
He picked a perfect week.
He won last week.
He won last week.
Justin Harris, how about you?
That's the good news. Incredible. The bad news is the prize is a gift card from Fuzzy's, which he doesn't need.
Yeah. Right. All right, let's get into it. We'll start with we do five Sun Belt games, then one national game. So we'll start with you, Kelly. App State taking the road at ECU. ECU is a 1.5-point underdog, and the over under is 59.5.
App State wins 21-20 on the road.
I like App State myself. I'm going 28-17 App State.
You know what? I'm going to take I'm going to be bold because you got to be bold to win this thing. So I'm going to take ECU 24-20 over App State.
Well, now you have to be bold or you have to be the guy keeping up with it.
Isn't it interesting that you know, Luke supposedly won it last year. Yeah, he was keeping score. This year, Dima's keeping
score. Just a coincidence, yeah. I'm sure. Go ahead, Dima.
All right, Troy at Iowa. Iowa's a 23-point favorite, but the over-under set at 39.
Kelly's alma mater.
No, I went to Iowa State, not Iowa. Iowa is a four-letter word.
I know.
Literally, right, and figuratively.
You go, Mr. Bob.
All right, tell me again who?
Troy at Iowa.
Oh, I like Iowa 38-7. I don't think Troy's that good.
I don't either. I'll take Iowa 31-0. Troy will not score.
I got 22-3. Iowa. So 22-3 Iowa, and that's definitely the under. All right, Virginia Tech at Old Dominion. Old Dominion is a 15-point underdog, and then the 47.5 over under. Kelly,
I'll take you know what? I'm going to take Old Dominion in the upset.
Straight up?
Yeah, straight up. 21-20.
Yeah, I'm taking Old Dominion as well. I like the Monarchs. I'm going to say 28-26.
That's great. I will be taking Virginia Tech. That'll make up for my ECU pick, I guess. Virginia Tech, I'll take them 31-27. So I think ODU covers, but Virginia Tech, too much for the Monarchs. All right, Vanderbilt at Georgia State. 9.5-point underdogs, Georgia State. The over-under is 44.5. Mr. Bob.
I think Vanderbilt wins the game. I'm going to say 24-7.
Nope, Georgia State's going to pull the upset at home. They're going to beat Vanderbilt, and they're going to beat them Let's go 24-17.
Yeah, I'm taking Vanderbilt 24-17, so that's just flipping Kelly's winner. And we'll go to the national game first, because I think we should just save the Southern Miss game for the last pick. So, number 24, Boston College, at number 6, Missouri. Missouri's a 15.5-point favorite. The over-under is set at 54.
Missouri wins, but Boston College covers 34-17.
Missouri wins the game 31-20.
All right. Yeah, I actually liked what I saw from Boston College against Florida State, and I think they keep it close. I think they cover, so I'm going to take Missouri 31, Boston College 21.
Former NFL coach coaching Boston State now.
Yes.
The guy Boston that was the coach of the – coached the Texans.
Yes, yeah, their offensive coordinator, he is right. All right, so South Florida at Southern Miss. Southern Miss is an 11-point underdog. The over-under is 58.5. Gentlemen, let's mark it down. We'll let Mr. Bob go first.
No, let's let Kelly go first. Let's let Kelly go ahead. Go ahead, Kelly.
Okay. I don't think Southern covers this. It looks to me like about a 38-7.
Oh, good grief.
Oh, Kelly. I hope you're wrong.
Yeah, well, then pick differently.
Well.
Yeah, well.
Crickets. Where's that sound effect?
South Florida 24, Southern Miss 14.
You know, I think it's like halftime 24-10 or something like that. But I have South Florida pulling away, and my score prediction is 31 South Florida, 13 Southern Miss. So 31-13 South Florida. So those are our picks. Week 3, I'm in the lead. We do have a lot of differentiating picks. So we will see where the scoreboard lies next week.
Georgia State better not let me down.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same for ECU. But all y'all picking Old Dominion is crazy.
Old Dominion has been in every game they've played this year.
We're going to have the official Eagle Hour accountant start double-checking.
Yeah,
you can go back and listen to the show.
The accounting firm of Ernst & Winnie, right? We'll hire them. They do all the Miss America pageants and all that kind of stuff.
Well, Dima, I know I won't see Kelly tomorrow night when the meal is served in the press box, but I'll look forward to seeing you.
Yeah, I'll see you there.
No, you guys will see me on the sideline. I'll be real easy to pick out because I'm going to be giving you the one-finger salute from the sideline. Be real easy to see while you have your filet mignon up there.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Go Eagles. We'll be back Monday with Coach Hall. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.